What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war on drugs.
Libertarianism.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody. What's up? So first off, I want to talk about how we should probably be changing the name of America to genocide. We should just fucking change the name to genocide, because I talked a little bit about this last week, but we keep talking about how this is not the America I know. This is not the America I know. This is not the America I know, but clearly I have not been paying attention to history and modern times and just, like, in general. Like, all that America's really done is decided to, like, put genocide outside of our country, you know, with, like, bombing civilians and shit. But, you know, America's always been about genocide. Genocide of the indigenous people. Genocide of the people we stole from Africa. Genocide. I mean, if you want to pretend like the indigenous people aren't still fucking being, like, fucking harassed as fuck, you know, it's like No Dapple. I had literally had some guy on the internet today, like, support No Dapple and be pissed at Christopher Columbus statues coming down at the same fucking time. It's like, dude, like, you only care about the environment. Like, that's what you cared about. Like, you cared about the environment, but not the actual people being, like, whose land is being fucked. But that, anyway, fuck that. But I wanted to say, so, you know, typically I don't really like liberal media and shit, but I've been thinking a little bit about Christopher Columbus. And not Christopher Columbus. I'm thinking about Christopher Columbus and how we should take down all those statues. But, you know, Democracy Now! Apparently did this piece about Nazis and, like, how these people get into white supremacist thinking. And I'm, like, all for punch a Nazi. Because, like, you know, because I remember what happened last time we took too long to punch Nazis. And people were telling me, like, oh, well, this whole thing with this thing where some people were punching Nazis and it gave Nazis the power to rise. And, you know, this whole, like, blame the victim for defending themselves. Therefore, it's your fault. I just want to say probably the wrong people didn't support. I mean, the people who punched Nazis were not supported by enough people. So you should support the people who punch Nazis, even if you're not going to punch Nazis. But, Democracy Now! Apparently said something about, like, how a lot of these guys who get into white supremacy and stuff are, like, undiagnosed people with autism, and that singular thinking is, like, comforting to them, or they just get manipulated by these power-hungry people. So I think it's, like, a tricky thing, though, because some of these people are probably just fucking sociopaths, but some of them are able to be rehabilitated. So I do think that there needs to be a balance between the two of those things. Like, punch Nazis, like, don't tolerate their bullshit, and try to, like, get them some help, because some of these people are really fucked up. But see, I don't think we should prioritize that over the people actually being affected by the Nazis, or the people actually being affected by white supremacists. And that's the thing that I want to talk about. Like, people are keep talking about how, like, the alt-right is, like, people, oh, what if we can't tell if they're a Nazi? Like, what if somebody just thinks they're a Nazi and they're not? And apparently somebody was punched who looked like a Nazi, but he wasn't. But, like, the point I want to make here is, like, people still are denying that people of color have faced any amount of disadvantage or oppression. And a lot of people are, like, the point I want to make is, like, the whole fucking reason the mainstream media is talking about these white supremacist groups that have been there for a really long time is because this white girl, Heather Heyer, was killed. And, like, that's awful. She was killed and stuff. But nobody's talking about that other guy who was fucking murdered by the police. And the fact of the matter is, like, he wasn't murdered. He didn't have to be murdered by the police. There's a lot of people murdered by the police. Excuse me. I, like, woke up an hour ago. But, like, that guy who was beat up by the fucking white supremacists down there. And the fact that I can't even remember his name off the top of my head, that means there's a problem. That means it's not being talked about enough. And that's my fucking bad. That's fucking disgusting of me. I'm disgusting that I'm talking about this on my radio show. I don't even fucking know his name. But what I'm saying is, like, he's not even being talked about in a big way. And everybody's talking about the lies of this white woman and this Nazi. So, like, if we're all talking about the names of this white woman and this Nazi, when it's actually marginalized groups that are going to be targeted by these white supremacist groups, That's how you know we have a race problem in America. When there are literally groups coming out and saying, we don't like these marginalized groups, we want to get rid of them, and we only talk about these groups when fucking white people are injured by it, or white people have the threat of being injured by it, who just may or may not be white supremacists. Do you know, do you see a problem there? Do you see a problem there? So now what I'm going to do, because I'm a bad person, I'm going to fucking look up the person who was beat up by Nazis in Charlottesville, because like we have to fucking say his name, because, and I think that it to be honest, if we're going to have media around this, that needs to be prioritized. That needs to be fucking shown. So let me find his name. DeAndre Harris. DeAndre Harris. I believe his name is DeAndre Harris. DeAndre Harris. If you're talking about Heather Heyer and not DeAndre Harris, like the way I just did with the fact, don't do that. Don't be that asshole. So now that I've gotten that out of the way, I had to give my whole fucking angry ass spiel. I get really fucking angry before my show. I am going to play you all an interview by Christoph Carr. He is a organizer of Gamba Forest and for Brooklyn Wildlife. These are events and like different music and arts events. And he brings a lot of people together. And that's why I want to interview him. I'm doing this documentary called What Would Save the World. So that's going to have like maybe like a little bit of a different vibe than my show does, which is, you know, pretty angry and harsh and very anarcho-leaning. But I really want to show people that there are people who give a flying fuck in the world about what's going on. And I feel like sometimes very alone and caring, and it feels like people don't care. But I actually personally know a lot of people who care. And I want to create sort of like a heartfelt documentary that shows people how many people are trying to improve the world. And maybe it'll inspire more people to take action. So this is like a 20-minute interview with Christoph. He does like a lot more talking than I ask questions, because he's just intuitive that way and just said all the right things that I liked, and I thought it was really important perspective. So I'm going to play some of his music later. All right, here we go. You might hear some of my little jibber jabber in there.
Yeah. So why don't you just like start off and tell me.
What is going on here? My phone just did some weird ass shit.
A little bit about who you are as a person, or like what inspires you to try to make things progress in the world in a positive way.
My name is Chris Carr, and I'm originally from Washington, D.C. I've been living in Brooklyn since the beginning of 2008, and I think...
Turn up your volume.
As a younger person, if I was confused or, like, if I had questions about the world, I wanted to learn about it, and in some cases, I wanted to affect it. Like, I wanted to be involved in the change and be one of the change agents, and... It's manifested in different ways. Music has been my best outlet, and communicating information has been my best way to do it. I've never been much of a, like, a, you know, burn down the government type of person, or like, you know, send letters to Congress all day. But I write songs about...
Turn up your volume as high as you can. That's when this works. When I edit it in the documentary, it'll be louder. But for right now, do that.
Life, politics, society, things that I would like to see change, questions I have, issues that come up, conflicts that need to be resolved. And out of making music, I started throwing events, and I really got into this idea of being a self-owner and being in control of your image, your likeness, your sound, how you are marketed, how you are presented in public, which led me to really start questioning how social groups are presented in public and how people who can't speak for themselves are often misspoken for, or how certain communities that aren't given a large platform to communicate have other groups communicating for them, and they're not doing it properly. And so that's just led me to keep trying to learn, or like to keep learning, keep growing, keep meeting people that are progressive and that have ideas about society. And the world hasn't, you know, gotten all happy and sunshine and Hippieville yet. Like, there's still all types of crazy shit going on, so we all have to play a part one way or another.
So you mentioned like open-mindedness and compassion as like something that you think would save the world. Do you think that being open-minded, like, do you think that people need to be more open-minded to those ideas, or do you think that that's possible?
So it's funny, even in doing this documentary, the concept of saving the world it's difficult for me to manage because I personally, on a universal level, think the world would be fine. Like whether or not it polar caps melt, whether or not there's another ice age, whether or not there are fires all over the place, the world will exist. Will humans be alive? No. Will some of the animals die off? Yeah. And for some people, is that bad? Yeah. But is it really a thing of saving the world, or is it addressing that we need to make the world a viable environment for us to continue living? And it's really a more selfish idea of saving us. Like what we do affects the world and affects the other organisms on this planet. And I like the other organisms on the planet. Like, I want there to be, you know, plants and trees and dolphins and bears and seals and polar, you know, like, I think that's good. I want humans to continue living in a healthy way. So, like, access to clean water is important. Access to, I think, food and access to resources that haven't all been controlled by huge corporations is important. So how does that happen? It takes compassion. It takes the people that work in certain fields to say, yeah, I could make more money, but I care about the people affected by it, and so I'll choose not to make more money, but I'll do things that are good for people. It takes individuals who are totally different ideologically communicating and sharing ideas instead of saying, we're polar opposite, we're gonna stay on our diametrically opposite poles and never engage. And that's what's been happening. When you had Obama in office, you had a lot of people in the Northeast and in California and quote-unquote liberals who thought the country was a certain way. And they didn't realize there were these huge pockets of the country that did not agree. And when they were informed, they said those people were ignorant, said those people were religious fanatics, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, now that Trump's in office, you have all these leftists upset, and you have the conservatives saying, yeah, those people are making up fake claims in fake media. Those people don't know what they're talking about. They're ideologues, and they're just mad. And so what do you do when you have 360 million people? You can't get everyone to agree. And so in order for society to function, people have to be open-minded. People have to be compassionate, or else you end up with tyranny, or else you end up with really isolated pockets that can be dangerous to people that don't agree. And you end up with very dogmatic thinking from whichever side, whether you're conservative, liberal, leftist, revolutionary, anarchist, whatever it is.
So then how do you deal with people whose entire belief system is based on getting rid of other kinds of people? How do you deal with those
kinds? Well, see, that's tough. I don't know if I would accept that. Like, I don't know if there are very many people who just want to get rid of everyone. I could easily look at certain policies passed by certain communities and say they must not care about black people. Obviously, when you look at the police interaction and the way the justice system works and the total imbalance in how people of color are sentenced, how they are arrested, how they're treated in custody, the murder of unarmed black men, and the continuation of that. Even with that, though, I can't say all the police want to kill all the black people. You know, I can't say that all the rural white people hate all the black people. I do know that when I meet people that say racist things or say things that are sexist or say things that are just totally apathetic, you have a conversation. I mean, you can ignore it. You can yell at them. You can't fight with them. But how does that progress? Or how does that move anything forward? So you have to have an exchange. You have to address the reality of certain people have these beliefs. And so do you ignore it and bury your head in the sand like an ostrich? Or do you find out what they really think and make a plan to deal with it? I think that's also another reality. Not everyone is going to agree. But at least if I know you're oriented to a certain ideological position, we can negotiate that. We can figure out how we can both not encroach upon each other's freedom to exist. I don't believe everyone's is gonna look at things the same way. And I don't know if you have to.
So, yeah. So far, I'm like super happy. So I'm trying to figure out where to go next. What about this? What about self-education? What's the important? What do you think about that?
So, another way, I think, humans can help better prepare themselves to create an environment for us to continue and live happy, healthy lives would be to self-educate. As a black person, I learned really young, like really, really young, that the government's lying, the schools are lying, the history is not true, and there is propaganda being utilized and convince a populace to accept things that morally shouldn't be acceptable. Well, how do you get past that? You educate yourself. You do the research. When people present you with information, you seek opposite types of information. You seek counter arguments. And in educating yourself, it doesn't mean you'll end up more right or wrong than another person, but at least you've gone through the process of critical analysis. At least you've gone through the process of investigation. At least you understand a little bit more about your history, society's history, history of humanity, whatever it is, to then make decisions about the future. A lot of things that are happening now are, I think, due to people accepting information they've been given, whether it's through the media, whether it's through school books, whether it's through their friends, their cousins, their family members. There is a lot of accepted legitimacy and authority. And a person saying, well, this person is that smart, or this person is that rich, or this person runs this company, they say it, they know things more than I do, I trust them. And I would suggest to people, you know, sure, I won't say distrust everything, but be skeptical, be critical, learn for yourself, especially when it comes to American history. If we were to know the history of how America gained its wealth and its ability to be this huge economic center and global power, we'd also have to accept that we are the beneficiaries of genocide, like now, not just like 400 years ago, slavery, and not just civil rights movement was in 1965 to 69 and shit like that. You know, we're in Vietnam up until when? We're in what parts of the world now? What are we doing? How are we influencing these places? And all of that allows us to sit here and use our smartphones, which are made from parts in parts of the world where those people can't even get clean water. And so I have to be critical of that. I have to then say, like, what do I owe the world since I'm receiving all these things from the world? And not by the choice of other people a lot of the times. And through self-education, you find that. You face that conflict. You have to deal with how you yourself are contributing to the problems that are in the world around you and how to possibly create a plan to address them. And I don't know if there is a fix it, make it all better, but if you know historically men and women haven't been paid properly, or someone suggests that there's a pay imbalance, you can research that. You can literally talk to women around you and ask them, well, you're getting paid the same amount as the men where you work. You can look up government documents. You can read data from social scientists. Like, there's enough information on certain issues where, for me, my conclusion would be like, well, clearly, like, they don't pay women the same amount they pay men, and that's some bullshit. But if I didn't self-educate, how could I come to that conclusion? I'd have to believe someone on TV. And why should I believe them over any other person on TV? Like whether I believe Bill O'Reilly, or I believe Tucker Carlson, or I believe Rachel Maddow, it's all the same level of belief. And so I'd rather try to learn for myself.
Anyone talk about, I think you already talked, you tied in media and information already, I think, right? Or do you want to talk more about that?
I guess when I think of outside of like physical activity or like personal choices, when I think of what could move the world forward would be a reclamation or like a reclaiming of real information. It's almost impossible right now for people to get any type of information from the television, newspaper, magazines, periodicals, even schools without a corporate influence. Like literally, if you run a magazine or a newspaper or you have a TV show or a network, advertisers are what keeps it afloat. It is not your subscribers. It's the big money from these huge companies that want access to the subscribers. So there's stories that can never come out in the newspaper because this huge company that owns a newspaper is like, you can't write about that. And people say like, no, but journalism, no, it's not. Journalism is not totally objective and this is what's the news. Nah, it's huge companies that influence it. They pay huge PR firms that influence it. And it's from companies as large as Pepsi to literally tiny little companies are still doing it. So that if you as a regular person try to get a story on the news, watch how hard it is. Go hire a PR firm and see how easy it is. And so that, for me, makes decision-making very difficult. If it's very difficult to get information that hasn't been biased by how it could affect the profit of a company that's involved, then how could you assess truth? And so I look at it like with new media and with these phones and with Facebook and Instagram, is that's what we can do. So that instead of me being stuck in my basement with no one to talk to, we can make this video and it could possibly go out to 4 million people in the world. And there is no influence on me. No one's giving me any money to do this shit. I clearly am not, you know, getting paid off to send out a message. I have no political ties. I'm not running for government. There's no benefit to me other than I have a feeling, I have an emotion, I have an experience that I want to share with other people in the world so they don't feel alone. And new media can allow that in a way that is unprecedented. And I would love to see people take responsibility with that. I get it. You want to show me your breakfast and your lunch and your banana pancakes, and you want to show me how cute your cat is, and you know, you want to look cool and bounce on Snapchat. But imagine all the things we could learn about each other through these devices and communication forms that weren't there prior, and how much empathy and commonality could be found through that.
Do you think that? So part of the reason of making this documentary is I feel like right now, maybe it's always been like this, and I'm only 25 right now, so I'm noticing it now. But do you feel like the world, the humanity, I guess, we already talked a little bit about the world, like it's taking like a very weird turn. Like there's like a lot of stuff going on. It feels like things are going pretty crazy, pretty wild. And I feel, do you think some of that is the ability of the internet to have that, like to be able to have such a freedom of information, and they're trying to take that away, you know? Like, is it that scary?
Okay, this is going to be kind of rude. In the past 300 years, when else would I have wanted to be a black man in America? Would it be 250 years ago? Would it have been even 100 years ago? When we think about humanity, how are we judging when it's crazy or not? Like, 15 years ago, it might have been great in whatever city you're in and horrible in another. You know, 20 years ago, in Rwanda, what was happening? 30 years ago in Libya, what was happening? You know, 200 years ago, what was happening in France? And so I don't think humanity is ever doing any worse than it ever has done. It's always amazing things happening and beautiful things and love and companionship and families and whatever it is, and people killing each other and bombing and disease and, you know, natural disasters and craziness like that. So I think we're in the balance. And in being in that balance, there are always people that contribute. There are always people who are like, I am going to get elected to office, and I'm going to make sure my friends get contracts and get money. I'm going to make sure my grandkids end up with a whole lot of wealth they didn't have to work for. The other people that have always been like, yo, the government is supposed to serve the people a certain way, and we're going to do what it takes to make sure that happens. There have always been other people who are like, yo, we will burn this shit down. We will bomb everything, burn everything. None of this system is legitimate. And all those components are what drive society. Me personally, I don't want to kill people. So I'm never going to be on the, like, you know, let's bomb everyone. And I'm not on that. I really think that there's a place for utilizing love, compassion, empathy, rationality, and hard work. And saying, fuck the handouts. Like the government can control you when you need the government. These companies can control you when you can't buy food or have a place to live without their check. But if you know how to take care of yourself, you know how to build capital outside of lucre, there are things you can do. And so I think that's everyone has to find their place. Some people are going to be drones. Some people are going to be happy with how life accommodates them. And am I mad at them? I'm trying to be compassionate and empathetic. But I would want them to at least start being critical, like start asking questions, start taking some steps, you know?
What I was trying to ask is, like, do you think that, like, the internet giving such, like, a, like, you know, like, we can talk about this and not be, like, corporate influence. Do you think it's starting to freak them out? Like, that there's a little bit, the control is being taken away from them?
No. Yeah. These big companies aren't afraid. Like, they have a bigger plan. Like, initially it was like, wow, the internet could undercut a lot of things until those big ass companies were like, wait, why don't we hire developers? Why don't we hire hackers? The government was like, oh, we're gonna be afraid because now people can communicate. And then they realize, no, we'll just hire all these motherfuckers that know how to use this stuff better than any regular person. And they can back end and find out, hey, right now, a motherfucker can get in my computer and be looking at me easily. Like nothing. The government, they're not scared of us. We're not. No one's about to take over the government. That's the other thing. So, like, they're not worried. Like, now that we have the internet, we can stop their tanks and fighters. They may be worried that we can do a flash mob and, like, 400 people show up in a public park and they don't know how to handle it because the cops aren't trained properly. But
that's what's happening, kind of.
Yeah, so that's, like, disruptive. And, but again, the government, like, yo, we're here because of disruption. Like the rebels here made the country. It's like the British were here, and then the motherfuckers were like, we're not fucking with you. We will violently take this country away from you. Kill off the natives here. Bring motherfuckers from Africa and India and China. Then let people come from Ireland, Scotland, blah, 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 all the way through. Like, it's not like a 5-year plan. It's not a 10-year plan. Like, the internet was developed by the fucking government. Like, the Defense True. Department gave money to universities to help them figure out how to connect their computer systems and communication systems, as well as get information from people.
Do you think you can stop that? Do you think that's just human nature? Or do you think we can stop, like, trying to fucking, like, take from each other in that way?
I would like to hope that some of the compassionate people that work for these companies realize that it's not always about the money, and that if you're developing software you know can be implemented in certain ways, there's a responsibility. If you work for an oil company and you know that there are things that could be done to make sure tankers don't crack open, or things can be done to make sure pipelines don't rust and then corrode, but it might cost billions of dollars, you might have to make that hard decision and be like, spend the fucking $1 billion, bro, and make sure people don't die. And who knows? That's the hope. That's the irrationality of the activist or the artist or the person who, like me, is somewhat of a cynic and has already accepted certain elements of reality, but still thinks we can change it. I still totally have hope and faith and belief that we can alter a lot of what's happening in the world now, and for the quote unquote better. And at least, like, some of the things that we know are just horribly detrimental, we can stop doing that. Like that's for sure.
So this has been, like, really incredible. If you have anything else you want to say about this, but I feel like I want to use all of this. I don't know.
I would just say thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
And I would encourage any person out there that believes in something, get into it. Don't just see it on TV or read a book, one book, two books, talk to one person and be like, oh, now I'm diehard. Like, you got to be in the trenches with people. So if you want to advocate for the poor, you got to, like, live with poor people. You want to advocate for people who've been victims of domestic violence, you got to be there with them when they're crying and bleeding and, like, you know, deal with the fallout and the reality of how people emotionally are living. And if you still then want to stick with it, then you're one of those people that has been given a gift in a way of, like, you're supposed to affect change in the world. Like, you have the empathy, or you have the drive, you have the commitment, you have the feeling, you have the emotional connection to other humans around you, where you don't want to see them in pain. You don't want to see the, you know, the people not reach the potential. And there's a lot of potential beauty in the world. And so I would say, anyone out there who, like, feels like in their heart, like, they wish there was something they could do, do it. Like, get in the trenches, do it. Do it. Do it.
And that was Christoph Carr talking about their thoughts on everything, and that's going to be a chunks of that you just heard, the full interview, are going to be in the What Would Save the World documentary. And I kind of want to interview them again. I don't know if you're listening, Christoph. I know you're a really busy person, but I wonder if you're listening to this, because I want to hear what you have to say now about the whole, like, oh, we should, people who don't agree with us, we should talk to them, with this whole, like, Nazi thing going on. But, like, I don't know. So let's play some of their music. When they do music, they go by Stonehenge Parnahashnakovsky. So, all right, so this is their song, My People Are Dying. Let's see if my thing. Thank you.
start the beating of the war drums. It's the calm before the storm comes. Proceed with the democratic quorum. No one, I got no decorum. Keep leaking this electrostatic distortion and erratic classic recording to eradicate boredom. Storming Norman Bates. Came to snatch the pop piece off that plate and Corning. That's only half the portion owed for the passionate performance. Put a flame to match to spark the last batch of torch. Scorching like wrath for work when the apocalypse. True with the endorsement. Hold in, exploding gifts, no endorsement. The grand prize is a fortune, but every man dies into fortune. I'll do it at the hand of a lone swordsman, warning global warming. My fans are a little fickle, that's not important. I think your triples are like my women and knots, but I force them. Life's a riddle and heaven's a castle in the sky, though not from the bored Mormons. I rap like a forger, no, I rap like a hunter and gatherer in the wilderness forging. Hands to Buddhist the whole porcelain, who grow his own sexual organs to the sound of heaven's organs. Yeah, adore the hymns of a Roman Ronin, no history or origin. A nudist seeking freedom, freedom. An African American, how about a human being? Being sees in the day. How about a celestial body in physical form? Breathing, see the double helix, DNA. Starving artists peeping the police feast while the streets decay. I say, free the slaves. A little bit scorned, but believing when he begins speaking, reason my people need a getaway. It's been pain and blood since the umbilical was torn and heart began beating. Life just happens to be that way. Its palpitation gets me closer to heaven and maybe the Garden of Eden, where we can play all day and leaves will sway. I think about Adam and Eve being naked, watching the sunset every evening. Such a scenic display, licking up each stem while deep in my readings. Ask myself the purpose of each individual born, never grasp the meaning. Maybe I should ask the deacon, maybe I should grab this flask and wrestle my demons, or pop this capsule, start seeing the fractals and the light beams beaming. I hold a middle stem to the page, have visions of people flying, gripping the wings of the phoenix, screaming, rising. I stay chiefing with chieftains, leading the legions. I ain't lying, I'm kind of conniving, somehow surviving, thriving. Keep my mentality old school like Minoans, Mycenaeans, amazement, adoring Cretans, creeping like lions, one of the wise men. I get on stage to perform and catch a shining Stephen King, a man mining for diamonds in his own mind, digging, seeking, finding, grinding, living, tweaking off the deep end. Every weekend, swan diving, is that something surprising? I reach for Orion in the bleakest environment. That's the space and time I'm in. My friends are dumps to diving. Our process leaves brain aching, our faces crying. We stuck on race and ethnicity instead of the event horizon. A thousand suns rising, the cost of water is rising, the cost of living is rising. I'm not compromising, and my right is why my people are dying. And in my dreams, man, my people are flying. A thousand suns rising, the level of water is rising, the cost of living is rising. I'm not compromising, and my right is why my people are dying. And in my dreams, man, my people are flying.
And that was My People Are Dying by Stonehenge Parhashnovkovsky. That's such a ridiculous name. I love it. But that was one of the song, one of their songs, My People Are Dying. And let's listen to another one. Let's see, what should we listen to right now? Let's listen to D'Lo 3-16-12 Bounce. Here we go.
I lay in the bed, barely awake. I lay in the bed, barely ceiling.
Yesterday,
looking at the poorly not painted white window, the lights are on my room. Am I still dreaming? I must be dreaming. Am I still dreaming? I must be dreaming. Because this woman next to me cannot really be here. Not with me, not her, not me, not us. See, she is about a lightning that explodes in my face and drowns me in the electricity and ecstatic energy. The tattoos from her neck to her chest are the expression of personal history. That's comedy, tragedy, mayhem, and misery. Me, let's talk about me. I am an artist. My words are the graphics with which I design. My walk in a fine line, a man with no time for anything except all these ideas that are formulated in the mind. Me, I am sarcasm, the disillusion, the cynicism and indifference. While she is a goddess, she is Aphrodite, she is Cleopatra, she is Isis, she is everything that I am not. I am only a reflection. And me, the scatterbrain, mad scientist with no funding, almost no equipment, absent-minded professor. And she is beauty, she is faith, she is the reason for me to ask this question. What am I doing with my life? Staring at the ceiling. Am I still dreaming? I must be. I still dream.
We use Pro Tools, compressors, and limiters to change the world without the pedantic propaganda of prime ministers. Nothing stops the business because I stay stern like the NBA commissioner. But work solely for my parishioners and listeners. Penis is the obelisk that protrudes like peninsular. Yeah, they say put the dick to her. I say X-Man like Mr. Sinister. Dictate the music, macro to miniature. My literature somewhat immature, literally ligature. For all damsels that didn't know what we were living for. It's the one reason life a binary integer. No distress signals, just symbols. Symbols and simple temples and a mind of white Zinfandel. Toast to the demise of the infidels like Grendel. Rise of the splinter cell. Hell, fire, club, snub. Nose that knows no identical. The pros of the tentacle. Bros those but are tangled in emotional principles. Leave the eyes of fire. Winter war bear cub that grows into the wildest demon and hates speech with a bleak perspective. Heart is stuck frozen like iceberg. No need for the words. Words, nerd, 33 and a third blurred swerve. Strike a nerve, the tipping point and the verb. The serpent and a rainbow. Public enemy fucked up biochemistry. Black American that has an understanding of his humble identity. My people spread the message like Mormons with a traveling ministry. But no huntsmen are on me. My morals bond me to electromagnetism and quantum physics. These lyrics is just the image. It's a visage. I run through the village and pillage it full of idiots. Yeah, somewhat illegitimate but deliberate. Giving it all I got. Wilder than people in deliverance. Take this message and deliver it. 36 a.m. No more metaphor. Look at my life that I live, and it's not as broken as it supposedly sounds. Supposedly sounds. An only child, single mother in a home, holding it down. Yeah, she was holding it down, down, down. You imagine me as a teen, being one out of six black kids out of 80 students in a class, holding it down, holding it down. Imagine my grasp when sanity and my attempts are holding it down. Yeah, hold it down, down, down. So low it will drown in my own pool of problems, where only the loneliest souls are found, bound to the holiest ground, hollowed. And you know what I think about when nobody is around, round, round. What happens when our bodies are in the ground, 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 hollow? Follow me like Cerberus in Hades with a crazy purgatory on Dante's peak, speak. Relics of the past time and epic, land before humankind. Find me on the grind all the time, but does time exist out the mind? Sign and Zeit, Heidegger, Conover's Christopher in an epic battle versus Lucifer.
Conover's Heidegger. Epic battles versus Lucifer, Christopher, the Converse, Silence, Zeit, Heidegger.
My tattered cloak and dagger, swaggers, that of a dapper slacker, mixed with volcanic magma, maladapted in the third day, rising cadaver. My wordplay's abracadabra, magic, mad at the pastor. The havoc erupts like my temperament faster, stronger, blacker than lacquer. Cast with the goats in the dopest chapters, so close to master. Roast the rappers, hear the words that I wrote clearly, get the vocals mastered. Rapture captured in a capture to grab your tags, your bags. Dirty Diana, the badges of witness till they fall over Jacob's ladder. Shattered, the postmodernists say the matter doesn't matter, so I can't be mad at their inaccurate chit chatter. In my basilica, I hear the laughter, baddest scatter. Brain, Rain Man, maddest hatter. Heathen, Attila the Hun, still on the run. Can't wait to break the social strata. Data, spun, roped, and gathered. Tethered to a platter, rum, coke, dope, black smoke, choke on biohazard. In a polluted mainland, I stay zen. I'm a survivalist. Training the style of death adder, flaming hand of flying. Fist. Mick Jagger, Rolling Stone, making plans. Mind state mixed with mental of Mendel, the scientist. Absent-minded, design to drift. Yeah, I designed this shit, designed to drift. Old school nostalgia, designed to shift. Absent-minded, Leibniz to scientist. With Mendel, mixed up mind state. I designed this shit, it's designed to drift.
Urban scientist.
Urban scientist.
And that was Dilla, 31612, Bounce by Stonehenge, Parhashnikovsky. And so this coming Monday at the Footlight Bar, we are going to have an event at the Footlight Bar at 465 Seneca Avenue. And it's going to be, so let me just read you my little thing I wrote. The mainstream media is intrinsically linked to corporate influence. Luckily, we have Radio Free Brooklyn's awesome independent political radio shows. Come listen to a panel on what is the role of independent political radio shows with hosts from Loca Vibes Radio, What Would Save the World, Objection to the Rule, and the Apocalcast at the Footlight Bar from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Monday, August 28th at 465 Seneca Avenue. We'll have poetry by Abby Roja. And I'm trying to book Stonehenge Parhashnikovsky like right now, and I think they're going to do it. But I'm not sure, so I'm not going to say that yet, but I'm trying to book them. Otherwise, we're trying to book another musician, so you should let me know. Oh, they may have a show. Oh, they may have a show. Oh, boo. Well, maybe we'll book them for another show. We'll find somebody. Let's play one more by them. Let's see, what should we play here? Let's play their poetry set. Here we go.
I never get to record my sets, so I'm gonna try to tonight. How you guys doing?
Y'all are good?
I normally rap with like music, live bands and stuff like that, but I'm trying to force myself to read poetry and to get more comfortable just like exchanging without anything else. Like, you know, sometimes a beat comes in and people are already nodding before you said anything. They're not really listening to you, they're in the flow of the whole energy, which is dope, but I also wanna learn how to write in a way that's connected, where if it's just me and you and there's no sound system and no TVs and projection, there's no equipment, we can still communicate. So I'm going to read some stuff I haven't read publicly.
Oh yeah.
And some stuff that I'm working on. Alright, so how you guys doing? Y'all right? Y'all are kind of quiet. You know, I'm used to like hip hop, get a little vibe. This one's like from a rap. You'll be able to tell. So the first one's like rap. The second one's more poetry, and you'll be able to be like, oh, that's like how you switch it up. And listen for internal and external rhyme schemes. So like this part and that part, like that rhymes and this rhymes. So my whole style is blood rushing, bud concussions. Discussions, dragons, dungeons, drums and percussion. Cats wonder if I'm on drugs or something, because my energy level's higher than a 19-year-old when it comes to fucking. See, my heart on my sleeve is the shirt unbuttoned, spearing going through spontaneous combustion or something. My chain never gets tucked in. I never obey instructions. Memory wrestles like my homies in a pub in Dublin, but I don't like punching. Clocks, X's, or my verses. I do like perverse sex and candy with Marcy Playground and Smashing Pumpkins. Fuck the cops, Donut Duncan. Look at how this family budget has just shrunken. And present perfect, my raps are an act of worship, and each verse is a church service that you can purchase. Pay the cash, I put my heart in it, and it's worth it. We fight the serpents. Broke through the semi-permeable membrane and birthed myself in the dirt, rocks, and earth surface. Now that I'm here, I search for the purpose. Nurture the cursive. Pompous, pensive, polar opposite to me in polarity. I talk about resource scarcity, solar power, positive, vice city, secrecy, sanctity, fertility, fecundity. We might have to migrate, and I ain't scared to travel. To find the abundance of fruit on the tree, pears and apples. Watch out for the bears and pterodactyls. I'm chilling with the rabbits, hares and jackals. Y'all fight to share the scrapple. I started out in the mystery machine with Scooby, Shaggy, Guns N' Roses, and a pair of broken axles. We can't repair the shrapnel. Prepare the capsule. The haze got the light looking like the words broken, a smoke in the air, and it appears like the flares are fractals. Ezekiel's where? Ezekiel's wheel in the sky full of despair, but I grapple. Endless versus visuals. Life is magical. So this one, try to listen again for the rhyme pattern, like deep-seated secrets and then regret, stress, things like that. I leak these deep-seated secrets from the deepest seas of regret. I ain't been sleeping in a week of freaking weekends, and I'm tweaking, needing some rest. It's impossible for cretins to get the meaning and understand how deep it can get all evening writing and reading the text. And for some reason, I have these feelings I need to express. We're fighting. We want our own media and media's rest. Grieving, heart bleeding, bleeding from chest. I mean, my mode is never median. More like I want to feast on all this steamed meat, beef, and the flesh. These execs want me to dress in a dress like Medea, but never read the Greek tragedy. I'm not a comedian nor a plebeian. I'm with the Legion of Death. Demons screeching, screaming at hex. My Encyclopedia Britannica is the image of stress to the bass and treble clef. Loss of life like in tea, and I'm seeking relief with the release of each breath. Forward progression towards peace to all human beings in each of these steps. I keep seeking freedom. And will travel every region, Australia to Antarctica. Antiquity, artistry, applied mathematics at Arthur in Northern America. The occult and esoteric character. Aleister Crowley, alternative alliteration, avoidance of the apparition, see spirits when we smoke indica from India. With acquaintances that practice black activism and magic alchemical wisdom. Aspirations, adoration, crescent is fertile and herbal. Essence is purple like periwinkle. More booze than prohibition. My core is fused and no inhibitions. Rip Van Winkle, y'all snoring, snooze, ignoring the mission. While my prose is preparation, proliferation, pole position, horseshoes, wars and foods, group participation, and topic switching, splitting atoms, a prophet stitching, different patterns, twisting, depicting the image of fire breathing, dragon, vision, prisons and captives, living, driven by passion, flipping a stick in the landing. A little solace for the victims missing in action. The diction scripted on tablets. An addiction to written ballads? It's an addiction, sickened habits. The admission of vicious savages. The sum is greater than its parts I spatially place. Collectors, critics, and museums, galleries make decisions that are racially based. I'm talking about preservation of art. We just want to make stuff for the sake of making it. That's the way I create. Market the hardship of an artist and try to escape the places of lakes. Bliss, pardon the hard bark, snark, find myself at the fountain of youth and take a sip in the wilderness with the aardvarks and the Ozarks. Nah, better yet, in the depths of my mental current like the sharks. Nah, I take flight and roam in the open skies and wake late night with the owls and the larks. See, they pray to it. I run through the town tripping, wear the crown, rapping while stripping. Yeah, I gotta pay rent even if the rent is late. The rope ladder that I'm gripping with slipping, hands, sticks. People get famous on Instagram, damn. While other people are getting slaughtered over land rights in Tajikistan. I don't write no hooks, my notebook's just a simple plan. Thank you. I think we all know your brother just called you. Alright, so I recently got into like modulated synths. I don't know if you guys are familiar with these things. They're like the boxes that Moog made. Before they had like synthesizers with keys. It's the shit that like Reason and all this modern technology emulates. It's basically an electrical wave that goes through a box, and you can just add oscillators and filters and you make crazy electronic noise with it. But it's how electronic music started. And I always hated electronic music because it was so repetitive. And getting into this stuff, these people made it before it got repetitive. Before it was just like drum loops and da da da. It was when you could tweak out sounds that no instrument could ever make, and it pushed limits like you never imagined. It influenced a lot of music, but it's not told to us. So this verse is kind of about modulated energy, basically. And listen to the rhyme pattern. This one's kind of ill. I dream of wires and have fantasies of oscillating synths. Really keep going. I dream of wires and have fantasies of oscillators, sine waves and modulated synths, outliers on graphs. My mind is a maze of mood circuitry and perfectly arranged sequences, ovulating nymphs inspired by math. So I scribe blind rage and nine ways on my pad. Consecrated myths, complicated gifts, heavy material like bronze hardened plates, dents each unique like fingerprints or plaster or iron cast. A man that uses arts and crafts. Airliners might crash, but I'll keep rocking till the seventh quadruple bypass. I got visions of gold tablets, lost ballots, Bolshevik, Stalinist, Aryan systems of caste. Thinking about George Bush, lost ballots, onions and shallots, scorched earth, slash and burn, and a god risen on the third day from the ash. See, the whole rap scene's on fire like pollinated stems, and my family finding ways to possibly pay the rent. Property is all we have. Communist politics obviously don't work in a time that's ominous. Look at the dominance of wrath. When in a clinch, mood moves and the truth is surfacing, like the more I grow old, the more I grow more callous and taciturn. It's a consequence of consciousness, a punk that's daft. Here to get the last laugh, tabulating every cent I spend and how much cash I have to earn. 6 pence for providence, 6 cents for prominence. His head is thick like brick tents, but honor it. Like, does that decision make sense to King Solomon? Like, does that cheese have a sin, or do the politicians constantly commit perjury so I fist fuck the whore of Babylon in parliament? Thick dick, call the pharmacist. Smoking a parliament, thinking maybe I can make a shilling and a living off the ideas I invent. I can't repent the Grinch that kidnapped Willie Lynch, but for now times are tense like elastic tension and my attention been deficit, fervently repurposing. No pension but graphic illustration. I find time wasting inefficient for the purpose of verses dispersed. It's sublime urgency. I find a divine mind to be necessary and sufficient. Scribe the lines that tie the binds of time only if they achieve success when persistent and consistent. Totally aware that my destination is distant. Double the negative? We gotta go hard. No hands to hold head. Sedatives and self-medication huddled with Bedouins. The herd, hard, evident. Hustle with text to pen. Sometimes have to sever friends. Stealth perforation, good health and reparations. A wealth of information, weight, measurements, and a man on the edge of a ledge of the highest precipice preoccupied like death is a wish, but quite the opposite. Life and staying alive is the only reason he got to live. No pop, it's not a quiz. No fizz, no fraggle rock, or dozers are dozing. Sutures and sewers, their future is coders. This is exposure. Rotors, motors, holding ground like porcupines or a horde of ogres. Opposers and poses get poked like holes in paper and skin punctured by needles over and over. No confusion, just fusion in the age of Oppenheimer. No chips with boulders on shoulders. Shoulders coated in Soviet soldiers or coated in polar winds in the plains of North Dakota. Lawnmower man running through your patch of four-leaf clovers, grubbing on your leftover stofers, watching a roasted Pop-Tart in a toaster. Man, my life is a roller coaster. Overstimulated, surge the five senses, rapping five tenses, then disappear to Nova Scotia. The Lee Iacocca rap with the, without the leaf. Never been high on coca. So just cayete your boca.
And that was Stonehenge Parahashnikovsky's poetry set. That was some of it at Gamba. So again... Stonehenge Parnakovsky or Christoph Carr runs Brooklyn Wildlife, which puts on events and art events and music events and all kinds of things in Brooklyn and at Gamba Forest, which is a political space and not political space. I'm obsessed. It's like an art space in Greenpoint. And they also put together shows at like Bazaar Bar and a bunch of other stuff. They do a bunch of amazing things. But I'm trying to get them to perform at this show on Monday, but I think they might have another show. But if anybody has a political or just somebody who's just really damn good who could perform on Monday the 28th, we have an event coming up with Radio Free Brooklyn called What is the Role of Independent Political Talk Radio? The mainstream media is intrinsically linked to the corporate influence. Alternatively, we have independent political talk shows on Radio Free Brooklyn. Come listen to a panel, What is the Role of Independent Political Radio? With hosts from Loca Vibes Radio, What Would Save the World, Objection to the Rule, and the Apocalcast at the Footlight Bar at 465 Seneca Avenue, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Monday, August 28th, poetry by Abby Roja, musical guest to be announced. So if you know anybody who could be that political group, that'd be really, really great. So you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. Today, I gave you a preview to the documentary I'm making by the same name. Next week, maybe I will have that, or I don't know what I'm going to talk about next week. We'll get there. But if anybody has any ideas of what I should talk about next week or wants to be on this show, you can email me at Took, like spelled like Took, but it's pronounced Took, at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. Thank you so much for listening. We are going to play some Mesa Daw. Mesa Daw is an amazing musician from Palestine. She's Palestinian, but I think she lives in Israeli territory or, you know, the occupation of Palestine. But she is amazing. And this is a song called Live Free. So again, thank you so much for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here every Wednesday live from 3 to 4 p.m. You can check out my other shows on whatwouldsavetheworld.podomatic.com. So this is their song, Live Free. I think it's from their album called Between City Walls.
Stuff like
God, Stonehenge Parnakovsky. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. Here's Live Free. It's a beautiful song. I love it so much. It's... shine and me. And that was Mesa Daw, Live Free. So you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. You should vote for Radio Free Brooklyn to present at South by Southwest. You can do so by going to radiofreebrooklyn.com/SXSW. And votes will help us be on the panel for South by Southwest 2018 to have our DIY radio and local music communities workshop there. And Brooklyn Bandstand is coming right up with Tom Tenney, who I believe will be hosting that workshop if it wins, right?
Yep.
All right. So it's going to be, there's only a couple more days yet left. It closes on August 25th. So that's like 2 days away. So you should really get on that. It's going to be an awesome chance. You've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I like to make fun of myself and call myself the anarchist Ann Coulter, but I'm just way more real than that. I'm not really, people say that I'm a sensationalist, but they're just mad because I'm a realist and they can't handle their shit. Okay? Gosh. I'm just like really, really angry person, and it's really sad. It's because I have high testosterone, but because I have high testosterone, that's how I know that toxic masculinity is really bad. You know, like if I have high testosterone and I'm really angry, and then there's all these fucking like hyper masculine dudes like fighting people in the streets and shit, like I would know what it feels like. You know, I would be like one of the women who knows what that feels like. Okay, what would save the world? Not me. All right, guys, like not me. I'm like way too angry, and I just like don't have any love to give. Like I'm just like such like a failure of a person. Like, oh my god, I love cats. I'm gonna go cuddle with my cat. What would save the world is animals, and you should listen to Brooklyn Bandstand and listen to local Brooklyn radio and think about me cuddling my cat and crying while I'm doing that. And you know, thanks for listening, guys.